The poet George Herbert rather beautifully wrote, "I gave to hope a watch of mine, but he an anchor gave to me. Then an old prayer book I did present, and he an optic sent. With that I have a vial full of tears, but he gave a few green ears. Ah, loiterer, I'll no more, no more I'll bring. I did expect a ring." Over the last year, nurses, midwives, and health visitors across the world have been a sign of hope. You have rolled up your sleeves well above the elbows, unless covered by PPE, and you have given yourselves more than either we or you would have imagined. And we are profoundly thankful. As Herbert writes, you have given your time, your tears, even your prayers, and we have loitered in hope. I recall as if it was yesterday, kneeling at the feet of an elderly patient in the old Southwestern Hospital in South London as a student nurse. I was washing his feet. He had not spoken once during his stay, but as I surrounded his feet with a warm cotton towel, he began to speak of his wife, who had died some years before, and how she had washed his feet, and that I was the only woman, apart from her, to have ever touched them. The simple act had reminded him of her loving touch, which had given him hope when she was alive. I don't know what personal protective equipment has allowed you as nurses to do in the last year, but you have metaphorically knelt at people's feet. You have poured yourself out as water. You have wrapped them in warm cotton towels to give them dignity and care, to bring them comfort and hope. And you have not done this once, but day after day, for those in life and those at death. Not because you are heroes or angels, but because you are professional carers, and we will not forget this. The act of washing feet reminds us of the intimate and deeply compassionate human connections which give us life. Those kindnesses which lift our spirits because they honour one another as infinitely valuable and cherished and held in love, which for me as a Christian speaks of God's constant loving presence among us in whatever circumstances and whatever conditions life lands us. Perhaps in the past year of all years, we have experienced more powerfully than ever the importance of touch, of physical connection, because it brings us hope. We have been forced to distance ourselves physically from those whom we think of as our own flesh and blood, unable to reach out to family and friends with a hug, a hand reach out in care, an arm around a shoulder, which would in other times, with no need for words, convey love, closeness, compassion, and care. There is another foot washing story in the Christian Gospels, where a woman weeping begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. Then, in a radical departure from custom, she lets down her hair, wipes the feet, kisses them, and pours perfume on them. There are few of us who have not poured out our tears over the feet of others metaphorically in the last year. In Herbert's poem, he stores up his tears in a bottle and hands them over. And Hope recognizes the potential of this gift and in return offers a few green ears, promising a harvest. The theologian Belden Lane says, "In the beginning you weep. The starting point of many things is grief, the place where endings seem so absolute. One would think it should be otherwise. But the pain is the antecedent to every new opening in our lives. We have wept for the loss of those we love, for the loss of freedom or financial security. And I know that many of you in the health service have wept at the pressure of work, at the pressure of decisions, the pressure that comes from not providing the quality of care that you would have wanted to. But I hope that you know that you have done your best in circumstances that we never dreamed of. Do not be ashamed that you have wept, or you still weep, for tears are the beginning of hope. Our reasons for weeping may be clear or held deep within us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." As the woman weeps over Jesus' feet, the reality that God is still working is there. And this tells us that we can act in hope, in spite of the doubts which we may feel at times is overwhelming. We can behave as though things are going to get better, even though we're not really sure that they are or when they will, because that is hope. That is the hope which the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ speaks of. To hope in this way is not about denying fear or the loss or the pain, which are very much part of life for many people, at least some of the time, but because we have the assurance of God's presence in the world of pain, it gives us a model for our response to fear, to loss, to human suffering. God is there for us, and we are called to be there for others. Hope is not about optimism. It points us to a God which has done and is doing things in Jesus Christ. It gives us a new optic. And that optic tells us that the best is yet to come. It is that which holds us here in the presence, like the anchor which Herbert speaks of. St. Augustine famously said that hope has two beautiful daughters, anger for the way things are, and courage to put them right. Herbert's poem tells us that hope never domesticates, never settles down. Like the hope lived out by Florence Nightingale, Mary Seacole, and all those nurses that have gone before us. Florence's faith, her call to service, was to save lives, and her opportunity came in the Crimean War. She was like nurses in all wars, from World War II through to the efforts against COVID-19, who have taken on new roles and sacrificed their own freedom for others. In the Crimean, most soldiers died from disease, not bullets. Florence nearly died herself when she came down with a form of syphilis, typhus, as many nurses did. The experience of poor infection control led her to develop the use of statistics for epidemiology. Her methodological advice was and remains superb, as is used now still for infection control, hospital design and public health systems. Mary Seacole travelled to England and approached the British War Office, asking to be sent as an army nurse to the Crimea, where she had heard there was poor medical facilities for wounded soldiers. She was refused, but undaunted, she funded her own trip to the Crimea, established a British hotel with Thomas Day, a relative of her husband Edwin. The hotel provided a place for respite for the sick and recovering soldiers. Mary's hotel was so close to the front line, she was able to visit the battlefield, sometimes under fire, to nurse the wounded. Indeed, she nursed the sick soldiers so kindly that they called her Mother Seacole. We could not have imagined celebrating the International Year of the Nurse and Midwife in a year where nurses and other healthcare professionals have had to put themselves again in the front line in the battle against infection. They have taken on new roles, stepped up to think of others before themselves, even in the face of death, but in the shadow of Florence and Mary and of nurses who have gone before. We must not forget what COVID has taught us, in particular your value as nurses and midwives, and also of society's inequalities. Hope never domesticates, never settles down. It has the courage to put things right. Herbert's poem speaks of hope. The author Mark Oakley, in his book My Sour Sweet Days, speaks of Martin Luther King Jr., who never said, "I have a nightmare." He said he had a dream, because it was by hope that he was motivated, which enabled him to help people reimagine the world and pray for God's will to be done on earth as in heaven. To believe, as the prophet Isaiah believes, that God will comfort all who mourn and will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of joy instead of mourning. Thank you for all that you have done as nurses and midwives. We are profoundly thankful.